We turn in our Bibles then to the Psalm 93. The Lord reigneth, this psalm tells us. And it is the verse 3. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. The proud floods. The psalm is about the sovereignty and the majesty of the Lord. The Lord doth reign, and clothed is he with majesty most bright. And I want to look at this psalm with you this morning. I want to plunge right into the midst of this great song of David. I want to do that, and in doing so, we're plunging right into the floods themselves. And so I'm starting with verse 3, it's our text. The floods lift up their waves. We're going into the floods this morning. The Holy Spirit deliberately, you will observe, puts the floods in the very middle, in the very midst of this psalm. It's the middle verse that tells us about the floods. I start there, not only because that's where the Lord has put this verse, in the midst, but I start there this morning because that's where we are in our experience in the floods. We're in the world, and the world is a place of floods. The Lord's throne is on high above the floods. We're not yet in glory. We're in the midst of the world. We're in the midst of tribulation. We are in the midst of floods. So verse 3 is familiar to us. Verse 3 describes oftentimes our Christian experience in this fallen world, the floods. You will notice that in the verse, it is the psalmist who's telling the Lord about the floods. It's a prayer, and he's talking to God, and he says, the floods have lifted up, O Lord. He's telling the Lord, the floods have lifted up. The floods have lifted up their voice. They've lifted up their waves. He's telling the Lord about it. The word Jehovah occurs 5 times in the psalm. This is the middle occurrence of that word, very right in the midst. O Lord, the floods, Lord. The psalmist is in the floods. He's telling the Lord about it. He's experiencing their rising waters. And he's saying, O Lord, the floods are lifting up. And so he's in distress. He is feeling the battle, the heat of the battle. You notice that our translators put an O before the Lord because they capture the sense of earnestness in the address. They catch the sense of danger. They catch the sense of the distress in the rising tide that the psalmist feels. And so they say, O Lord, the floods, O Lord, they're rising. The floods are ascending around about me. And so it's an earnest address, this text this morning. You will observe also that the word flood is plural. It's not just flood, it's floods. And you will notice also that it is used 3 times. The floods. The floods. The floods. He's desperate. He's in the midst of them. He's feeling it. They are floods. Many floods. Mighty floods. Overflowing floods. And perhaps that's where we are today. No doubt, if we're not, we will be someday. We don't escape these proud rising floods. And so to those of you who are familiar with Scripture, it will be clear to you what these noisy, fearful floods represent. What they picture and what they portray You know that in the Bible, the floods represent cruel, malicious, hurtful men. They represent the enemies of our soul. They represent those who are the tools and instruments of the devil, whom he fills with his malice and rage against the righteous and uses them to assault and surround the people of God. You remember how David said in Psalm 18, I will call upon the Lord, he says, that's the only way that I shall be saved from mine enemies. I will call upon the Lord. The sorrows of death compassed me, he said. The floods. He's talking about the floods. He says, the floods of the ungodly men made me afraid. The ungodly men are the floods. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. They've lifted up their waves, their mighty waves. The floods of the ungodly, the psalmist is speaking about. In Psalm 18, verse 4, the floods of ungodly men, literally it is men of Belial, and they terrify David. And he calls them floods because they're many, and they surround him. And he calls them floods also because they're coming from, not only coming from all directions, encompassing him, but they're violent and noisy and verbal and malicious. There's nothing so destructive as a flood. There's nothing that ruins a place, a city, or even a home as a flood. There's nothing more powerfully destructive than the rising waters of an angry flood. And so that's the kind of imagery that David uses to describe how men assault him, how their noise, their verbal noise, and their maliciousness encompasses him round about, and how he feels. And so he's describing how he feels, and he's telling the Lord about it. And yet, this hostile scene, and it is a hostile scene, the floods lifting up, yet in this hostile scene, the Lord is on the throne, observing and watching. The floods are in the midst of the verse, but the Lord is surrounding the floods. He's referred to at the start of the psalm. He's referred to at the end of the psalm. He's the Lord who reigns. He's the Lord who's sovereign. He's the Lord who's over the floods and in control of the floods, and even watches his servant in the midst of them as he lifts up his prayer and tells the Lord about these floods. The Lord sees. The Lord knows. And can anything be more foolish? Can anything be more futile than floods rising up in the more fearful presence of God? That they would dare do so in the presence of God? How foolish the wicked are, and how futile. There's no fear of God before their eyes, even as they rise up their voices against the people of God. You will observe that the verb to lift up occurs three times as well. There's a lot of repetition in this short verse. The floods, the floods, the floods. And then the verb lift it up, lift it up, lift it up. That's all they're good for doing. Lifting up their voices, lifting up their waves, lifting up their rage, lifting up their malice. That's all they're good for. The pride and the arrogance that defines these floods. They're characterized by lifting up, a verb that is used to describe pride and the arrogance of man, lifting up themselves. And these ungodly enemies of the gospel and of God and of God's people, that's all they're good at, lifting up themselves with their arrogance, with their pride. And that defines them as they rise over the righteous, as they seek to drown and flood out the people of God. They raise up. Their hearts are lifted up. Their voices are lifted up. That's not what it says in the text. The floods have lifted up. The sense is their hearts. And the floods lift up their voice. And they lift up their destructive waves. It's fearful to be in the midst of them in reality, isn't it? It's no wonder David says, "Oh Lord, the floods, the floods." There's no humility with the ungodly. There's no mercy with the unconverted. There's no compassion. There's no kindness. There's only malice and destruction and slander and hurt and scheming and planning to bring down and destroy and to overflow and to override the people of God, the good in heart, the humble servants of the Lord, such as David. Oh Lord, the floods have lifted up. This is the Bible's way of depicting the persecuting forces of the ungodly. The psalm to pen beside our text this morning, this verse 3, the psalm to pen beside it is Psalm 124. We often sing Psalm 124. If it had not been the Lord, if it hadn't been for the Lord being on our side, if it hadn't been for the Lord being on our side, Israel can say, if it wasn't for the Lord who was on, three times he says it. If it hadn't been for the Lord, he says, whenever men rose up, whenever men lifted up and rose up against us, oh, they would have swallowed us up quick. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters would overwhelm us. We would have been drowned in their floods. We'd have been carried away in their destruction. The very stream seemed to go over our souls, the psalmist said. The proud waters went over our soul. But he said, blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord who didn't give us as a prey to their teeth. And our soul has escaped out of the snare. You see, he uses this imagery. The waters overwhelming, the proud waves rising up, the pride of the wicked, and the streams of their arrogance going over our souls, riding high upon us. If it hadn't been for the Lord, who reigneth and sitteth upon the throne, we'd have been destroyed. Our soul would have been destroyed. If it hadn't been for the Lord. And so these floods are not new that David tells us about, nor are they rare. You remember, since the days of Cain, these floods have been on the earth. What did Cain do? He rose up. He rose up like these floods. He rose up and he slew his brother Abel. He rose up. Like the waters rising up. While there's a saint of God and while there's a Satan, there'll always be the rising up of these floods. As long as the people of God are in the earth and as long as the devil roams about, he will have his floods of the ungodly rising up against them. The seed of the serpent is the waters of the ungodly. The early church went through these floods whenever the Roman Empire rose up against it. And many of the Christian fathers and mothers were washed away in its malicious destruction. The church reformed also in its history from the times of the Reformation has a similar story. The Huguenots, the Waldenses, Protestants of all nationalities have been able to tell the Lord about the floods. The floods, O Lord, have lifted up against us. The floods have lifted up their voice. Lord, they've lifted up their waves. And so the high tides of persecution is never far away from us. And then there were the torrents of communism against the Christian church in the USSR. And today still in China, the floods are lifting up their waves. And in other places too, where Hinduism rules supreme, the floods rise up their waves. And now there is the high tides of resurgent Islam, lifting up their floods against the infant church, struggling to survive in the Middle East, and Islamic nations which scourges this world like a flood. These are not new waters. These are ancient waters of old, not to mention on a local level, the proud voices of that are around us, the proud ways of the wicked. And though while presently violence is restrained because of our present laws, they can only bend their tongue like a bow and shoot at us verbally. They do it privily, but even publicly, they do not hesitate to do so. But even to us, the rising floods of persecution may not be far hence. And one day we may have to sing this psalm. One day we may have to use these words and tell the Lord, "The floods, Lord, the floods. The floods are lifting up, Lord, their waves against us." So, child of God, this is a verse for us never to forget in the midst of our persecutions by the ungodly and in the midst of all their wicked malice. And whenever the floods come, don't think it's strange, as if some strange thing happened unto you. No, it happens. It's common. It's frequent. Nor let us forget the context of the floods always that's around us. The great King himself is in the psalm. He's reigning over the floods. The Lord reigneth, and he's clothed with majesty. Nor let us forget this either, child of God, that the great King himself one day stepped off his throne and stepped into the midst of the floods. He came into the floods himself to experience them on our behalf. You know, there was a time when the incarnate one entered into the waters, the deep waters of the ungodly, being born of the Virgin Mary and conceived of her substance by the Holy Ghost. He took to himself a humanity, and that humanity went right into the floods. And Jesus Christ prayed this prayer: "The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods have lifted up their waves." Right at the start of his earthly pilgrimage, he could have prayed it. Because the floods of Herod, ushering out of Jerusalem towards Bethlehem to overflow him, to encompass him and destroy him, Herod's floods poured, and in the waters many little boys were drowned, but Jesus was spared. And those floods not only early surrounded him, but they continued to do so throughout the years of his life and ministry, getting darker and deeper, getting more fearful and terrible, noisier and more violent, until Calvary, the deep waters, the floods of Calvary encompassed him. And this verse can be seen in that light. It is the words of our Savior upon the cross, the words of him who is dying for our sins on the tree, surrounded by the ungodly, having been crucified by them. The floods, O Lord, as he lifts up his eyes unto his heavenly Father, they've lifted up their voice, they've lifted up their waves. Our Lord Jesus knows something about floods, child of God. He's been in them before you. He has been in them for you. He has been in deeper than you shall ever go. He often told the Lord about these floods. You will remember how Psalm 69, which is a messianic psalm, and it must have been prayed by our Lord upon the cross, "Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where no standing is. I am come into deep waters. The waters overflow me. They overflow my soul. Oh, let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me. The waters are raising up, they're encompassing me. Deliver me, Lord. They hit me. They would sink into my soul and destroy me. Deliver me. Jesus knows about the waters on the cross. Let not the water flood overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. This is a messianic psalm. Jesus knows these encompassing waters of hatred. Psalm 22 is on a similar vein. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? But the Lord says, many bulls have compassed me about. They have beset me all around. They gape upon me with their mouths. The dogs have compassed me about like floods. They pierce my hands and my feet. They have enclosed me. They suffocate me. They drowned me in their malice. He knew about the floods. And knowing about the floods and having come out of them for us, he is able to succor them who are in the floods. The same floods of malice, the same floods of lies and slander and envy and hatred, the same floods of persecution. He knows how to succor us when we pass through the waters. And so you're not alone this morning in the floods, child of God. The Lord is there as well as on the throne, observing you and being with you. He is able to succor you because he has felt their coldness and he's felt and experienced their darkness that you're going through today. You notice that while he goes through the floods, they do not prevent his fellowship with his God. The floods, O Lord, the floods, O Lord, the floods cannot prevent him praying. The floods cannot prevent him crying unto his God. The floods cannot prevent the communion and the fellowship that he has with the Lord that reigns. Yes, the floods of the wickedness may encompass us. The floods of the wickedness may carry us away into prison. The floods of the wickedness may tie us to a stake and burn us in the flames. But none of their floods can stop us praying. They can incarcerate us. They can chain us and bind us. But we'll always be able to say, oh Lord, the floods have lifted up. They'll never stop us praying. They can't. They can never take away that liberty that we enjoy in our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. In fact, they make us to cry all the more. And when their floods of malice come, and when their floods of hatred assault us, what do? We cry all the more. We tell the Lord all the more about it. And we say, oh Lord, the floods. It were good if the malicious wicked remembered this, that their malice only makes us tell the Lord about them. It were good that the wicked knew that the people of God bring them to the Lord and they say, Lord, the floods are lifting up. The floods are rising up, Lord. The wicked and the arrogant are ascending, O Lord. We just tell the Lord about it. And so as foes, they may prevail over our life, they may prevail over our name, they may prevail over our body, they may abuse us and lock us up, but they cannot prevent our communion with God. In fact, they help it. And yes, child of God, tell the Lord about the floods. Yes, when your foes prevail, don't lie down just and drown in sorrow and in silence, but tell the Lord. Take out your psalter. It's a time to take out your psalter. It's a time to sing this psalm. And you can sing it in the metrical version, or you can chant our common version, but take it out and sing it. You know, the ancient church fathers, especially in the West, whenever they sung their psalms, they used to sing what was called an antiphon before a psalm. An antiphon is a short verse that they would sing as an introduction to the psalm, and then they would enter into the psalm. It aided memory of the psalm. And these antiphons were things that were appropriate to how they felt in relation to that psalm. And very often the antiphon was out of the psalm, and they would sing that first. It usually would be a prayer directly to the Lord, and then they would enter into the psalm. And if they were singing this psalm, now I'm not sure what their antiphon was for this psalm, but if they were singing this psalm, I know where I would start. I would start at verse 3. And then I would say, "Oh Lord, the floods have lifted up their waves. The floods have lifted up." And then, having sung the antiphon, you go into the psalm and you sing it all the whole way through. That's how our ancient fathers sung psalms. And they got into the mind and they got into the heart. And they knew every psalm that was appropriate to the situation where they found themselves in the providence of God. And this was a great psalm that was sung in times of persecution. "The floods have lifted up, but Lord, you reign. You reign." Very many of the psalms are of this nature, that they're just telling the Lord about the proud and about the wicked. The psalmist asks for nothing. He requests nothing. He just tells the Lord about them. The very next psalm, the psalmist enlarges upon the floods. The arrangement of the psalms is of no accident. And the more and more as I study them, I become convinced even of the divine authority, not only of the text of the psalms themselves, but I become more and more convinced of the divine authority of their arrangement in the Psalter. And Psalm 94 gives a description of the floods of the ungodly. "The God to whom vengeance belongs, lift up thyself." He's told them about lifting up the floods, and now he's saying to the Lord, "Lord, you lift up yourself. Render a reward to the proud. How long shall the wicked, triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger, and the murder the fatherless." They're proud. They're like these floods that lift up and rise up and bring terrible destruction to the people of God. So Psalm 94 is to be read with Psalm 93. And it's to be sung after you sing Psalm 93. The floods are defined and expounded and explained in the Psalm 94. And in Psalm 94, he makes his request. "Lord, lift up yourself as the proud have lifted up themselves. Lift up yourself, Lord." That's how to pray. So tell the Lord, "When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard." He'll rise up. He'll lift up the banner in his name. And while the floods of the enemy may drown us, they never reach the height of that standard, I tell you. He lifts up the banner. Do you remember whenever the floods rose up against John the Baptist in the palace of Herod? And they did rise up, taking away his head, murdering his body. The disciples of the Baptist saw their leader carried away in those floods, drowned in the wickedness of the royal court. What did his disciples do? Well, the Bible tells us what they did. They came right into the midst of those floods, and they took the body out and they carried away and buried it. But that wasn't all they did. They went and told Jesus. That's what they did. They went and told Jesus. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up the waves. And they've carried away our master. They told Jesus. And that's all the psalmist is doing here. He's just telling Jesus. And the disciples of the Baptist could have told Jesus in these very same words. Having commenced where we find ourselves, even in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of these floods, we can now rise by faith to see the Lord's throne. Whenever waters carry you away, you can always look up. And there's one who is reigning. He is not disturbed. His garments are not wet. His garments are not soaked. The glory of the flame of his deity is not put out. The Lord reigneth, thou art clothed still with majesty. The waters have not carried away your garb. You are clothed with majesty and with might. Your throne is established of old. You're from everlasting. And the floods can't wash you away, Lord. The Lord doth reign. And it says in verse 4, you're on high, Lord, and you're mightier than the noise of many waters. That's really all it is to the Lord. It's just a pile of noise. And he's mightier than the noise of many waters. This is a wonderful psalm. Every word is to be noted. God has said to these waters on his throne, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further. And here shall thy proud waves be stayed, and you shall go no more beyond them. I cannot think of this psalm, but I think of the waves beating into the little ship of the disciples on the Sea of Galilee. As they make their way across the sea of life, they're with the reigning one in their midst. But the waves rise up, the waves beat into the ship, and they become fearful and trembling and frightened. And that scene depicts how many times the church is going to be, and how often through its history it's going to feel itself, that the floods are just pouring in, and we're about to sink and to drown. And we're going to have to turn to Psalm 93. And we're going to have to consider him who reigns and is in the midst of us. That day they learned who was the king. That day, as the waters poured in and they woke their Lord up and they said, the floods, Lord, are rising up. The floods have entered in. We're going to drown. Do you not care, Lord? That day they learned who reigns. That day they learned who was sovereign over the waves. They saw him. He stood up. He said to the wind, cease. And to the waves, he said, be still. And there was a great calm, because he's the Lord over the waves. He's the Lord over the floods. He's the Lord over the sea. Thou rulest the raging of the sea, the psalmist said. When the waves are off arise, thou stillest them. Thou stillest the noise of the seas, the noise of the waves, the tumult of the people. It's the same thing, you see. Who can be compared like unto the Lord? Who is so mighty as our God, who stills the waves? What manner of man is this, that even the waves obey him? The Lord reigns. And you see those floods that are encompassing you? He is sovereign over them. And when it's his time, he will speak to them and still them. And he certainly won't allow them to come any further than his bounds have set, because he hath surrounded his people with the sand of the sea. And so the proud and lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be brought low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and who lift themselves up with arrogance. Fear not the proud floods then, people of God. And as for any who are proud, unconverted, arrogant, and a persecutor and maligner of good people, you be warned. It's better to be in the floods, encompassed by them, than for yourself to be part of the floods, abusing a saint. So be warned, unconverted sinner. Unconverted sinner, doing the devil's work and doing devilish work, be warned. Repent. Believe the gospel. The King of Glory sees your proud, stubborn ways. Fear God. Fear God. Kiss the Son.